Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, what's going on? Welcome to Locked On NHL, the Thursday edition. I am your co-host, Chris Maselli from Locked On Avalanche, and with me, as always, the man with neither a lower or upper body injury, the man who put 100K down on GameStop, Mr. Adam Denker from Locked On Lightning. What's going on, sir?
Coming to you live from my Bruce Wayne-like mansion out here in the Palisades near New York.
Yeah.
So went in big on the GameStop. No, I didn't. I didn't realize GameStop, that whole thing with GameStop was happening until like 2 days later.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling great. We're finally at Thursday. For our listeners that don't know, Chris and I both live in New York, and I can't speak for Chris, but I'm tired of the snow. I'm tired of it. I'm done. Like, I'm over and done with it. So I live in the city, so it's with the subways. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So my birthday is at the end of this month. Okay. It's February 27th. Actually turned the big 4-0 this year. So that's wow. Oh yeah, that's great. and for me, it was always like, I looked forward to it. And as I've gotten in my old age, it goes back and back and back when I just want the winter to be over. And it's gotten to the point where it's like, as soon as Christmas is over, get me to Florida, get me to Tampa Bay with the Lightning.
Dude,
I'm with you.
I'm 28. And after one snowstorm, I'm done. So
you feel it in your bones already at 28 years old.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So, all right, what do we got on the show today? We are going to give any updates we know on the Tony D'Angelo debacle, whatever is going on there. My boys, the Colorado Avalanche and the Minnesota Wild, have been struck by the COVID crisis.
Yes.
And that's happening hours before we're recording the show. So that is going to be an interesting situation going forward. Have a couple questions to answer. And Super Bowl weekend. So we're going to flip the script on our picks for the day and let you know what we think is coming on the Super Bowl. If you listened to last week, you probably already know where our allegiances lie. So for me, it's a little interesting though, because of the team that's playing the bad team is in my division with my boys in the Denver Broncos. So we'll get into all that fun stuff. So, all right, let's hit the ground running. And Tony D'Angelo, by now I'm sure most people have heard what's going on with him or what's not going on with him. And right now where it stands is the last that I heard was that the Rangers say, and sometimes teams always say this, that there's suitors out there. Like people are banging down the door for a trade and we'll have a trade. Okay. And I heard that a couple of days ago. So then why isn't a trade done? And I get why nobody wanted to pick him up on waivers, because that's a salary cap issue. But is it really there's that many teams banging on the door that the Rangers have a – I'm picturing like CSI, and they have all of these sticky notes, and like which one are we going to pick like first? Where do we go first? What are you hearing on all this stuff?
I'm just hearing the Rangers just trying to make him tradable and marketable. I think that if any team was going to make a move, it's not going to be until the season's over.
Really?
Through six games played, he only has 1 point and a plus minus of minus six. And to put it lightly, he's played like crap this year and he's underperformed. And just on top of that, the worst thing you could do after getting a new contract is underperform, but he has managed to take it a step even further and be a bad teammate. And that's, I think, right now, until he somehow redeems himself, because I feel like and we were talking before the show, obviously, I grew up a Ranger fan. I do cover the Lightning, but I'm still, a Ranger fan at heart. And he was one of my favorite players last year. Just a great story with him, how he kind of bounced around the league. Actually, ironically, started his career with the Lightning. But at the end of the day, it looks like the reason why he's bounced around so much is because he's had somewhat of an attitude problem. And I don't think, especially with the money that he has, I don't believe any team's going to even touch him with a 10-foot pole until, you know, the whole situation and more comes out with him, because we're talking about him coming to blows with another teammate. And when I heard, and supposedly it was Chris Kreider, and so my next question after that was, I hope Tony D'Angelo is okay, because Chris Kreider, if he really did punch him, Tony D'Angelo is lucky to be alive. So what were your thoughts on this when you heard the news?
When I heard it was about, like, they were throwing around like insults, like you eat too much gabagool and like stuff, I'm like, all right, this is going down the realm of comedy and nothing else. So I'm kind of like embarrassed for hockey, for the Rangers, because you are a prestige team in the league. No matter how bad you are during a season, you're still the New York Rangers. You're an original six team. You're an elite franchise. You know, people want to play for you. And I think Tony D'Angelo at the age of 25 doesn't respect that. And that's a shame, because he's a very good player.
No, and he has really, he was in a perfect spot coming off a new contract. The team is, you know, if they could turn their act together, I think in the next 2 years is going to be a cup contender.
I thought they could turn around this year.
And it's a shame, because at the end of the day, I mean, there's still some things coming out. Apparently we're not going to go into detail, but he was yelling racial slurs at Keandre Miller. And apparently that could have been an issue when he was back in Arizona, as well as to why Anthony Duclair was originally traded out of Arizona. And if that's the case, then I think the best thing for Tony D'Angelo is just to tell the Rangers, you know, just cut me. You don't have to pay me anything. And, you know, really right now is just not even outside of hockey. He needs to just learn how to be a better person.
Yeah.
Because as long as you have that hanging around you, you're not going to play anywhere, regardless of how many goals you score a game or what your plus minus is.
Excuse me, I don't know. Apparently he was yelling at Kreider that he goes off sides, and he was yelling blue lines matter, which is kind of funny, but that's just wrong.
if you watch that Pittsburgh game in which the whole thing happened afterwards, the game winning goal was because of D'Angelo not getting back on defense. And there was multiple goals earlier in the game in which it was because D'Angelo. And it apparently he got into it with Georgiev as well. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's one thing to play bad, but it's another thing to create problems when you don't have a foot to stand on.
Exactly. So we'll see where that heads. I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see if someone takes a shot at him, and if a team does, if they are a contender or not. So we'll see where that goes. So D'Angelo's not playing at the moment. Go ahead.
Yeah, they just moved him to the taxi squad the other day.
So, oh, really?
So he's done.
So he's not playing, and the Avalanche and the Wild are not playing because of COVID-related issues. And so this all just happened again a couple hours before we hit the record button. And how it went down is the Wild already had one player on the COVID protocol list, and they just added five more. And they are in the midst. Well, they're at the end. Tonight would have been the fourth game in a row between the Avalanche and the Wild. So that is canceled. And for the Wild, their games are canceled until February 9th. As of we're recording this, the only game that is canceled for the Avalanche is tonight's game. And the only person that has entered the COVID protocol for the Avalanche is Tyson Jost. I don't know how they pick these guys to go on the COVID protocol list, but if you have five guys, a total of six for Minnesota, because they had one guy go over the weekend. Foligno went over on the weekend. So a total of six, and they were playing the Avalanche over the weekend. So a total of six guys on one team that has all been put on that list while you played another team, the Colorado Avalanche, and one guy is taken from the Avalanche and Tyson Jost and put into the COVID protocol. My thinking on that is you are putting Tyson Jost in that COVID protocol list because of something he did outside of the arena. Because if you're putting him in that list again because he went up against these guys on Minnesota, why are you not putting everybody else on Colorado against on this protocol list? This is going to be a disaster, I feel. If any of these guys come back as positive, if Tyson Jost comes back negative, I think Avalanche are maybe a little bit in the clear. But if anybody of those six guys and the prospects are high, the percentages are high, that's one of those guys is going to test positive. Now you have an entire Colorado Avalanche team that you have to test, which you're testing anyway. This could be disastrous right now for both.
Yeah. Yeah. And during when I was watching the Lightning game tonight, Bob McKenzie was talking on NBC during the intermission, and he was saying something that was, you're definitely not going to like this, Chris. Mm. And I'm sure our listeners aren't either. He was saying the issue with this whole COVID situation that's going on in the NHL is that players only get tested once a day and they only get the results 24 hours later. So which means if a guy comes back positive, he potentially, if they did play a game the night before, could have been playing while positive. Now, it looks like the league, from what everything McKenzie was saying on air, was that the league isn't really on either side of the fence of when it comes to in-game transmission. Okay. So the thing is that, you know, if the league comes to terms with the fact, okay, guys, you know, it, because eventually they're going to have to do twice a day. I think that's the only way to maybe stay with the league playing full time and not having the whole season shut down. Because I think if they're going to continue testing once a day and you're not getting test results within 24 hours, but you are going to start believing that in-game transmission happens, which, I mean, we're not scientists here, but we would have to imagine it does work.
Right.
Happen.
Right. Last time I checked, hockey was a contact sport.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, Canada just didn't ban it for the junior hockey leagues for no reason for checking. So, but this doesn't look good for the league. I'm just being a Debbie Downer with all this, but I think that if the league comes to terms with the fact and they accept the fact that, I think that's part of the reason why they're not accepting it, because then people are going to come out of the woodworks. The Players Association is going to come out of the woodwork saying, then why are we playing games? If the testing is not there as consistently as it is, because they're not going to the table in which of saying, let's have the rapid results, because apparently those are a lot more expensive to actually get a hold of than,
and a lot less accurate.
Yeah. So I think, you know, unless they could wrangle this in, we're going to have a lot more positive cases and possibly, fingers crossed as to now, possibly a stoppage in the season.
It could happen. It could happen. I said on the Avalanche show today that, you know, right now it's 12 teams that have had players go on the COVID protocol list. And when you look at that, you're like, okay, that's 12 teams. It's not, you know, it's 19 teams that haven't, but we're only two and a half, three weeks into the season.
Yeah.
So it's that number is just going to keep going up and up and up. So,
well, I believe we spoke about it last week, in which, you know, teams have had to reschedule games for certain days where they're playing back to back, and possibly, you know, we said at one point, possibly three games in 3 days. What's going to happen when teams start canceling and we're not going to be able to move games back any further? That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, we'll see where it goes. It's only just beginning. We have all these issues, and like I said, we're not even a month into the season. All right. So who we got? We got betonline.ag, and we're going to get to our Super Bowl picks a little bit later. But if you got anything that you want to put on, and like I said, my boy Adam, he goes to town on this stuff, and he has signed up for his free account. I have signed up for my free account, and go to betonline.ag. It's the only place that has you covered, and it's the one place we here at Locked On trust. Sign up for your free account, use the promo code Locked On, and you get a 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on that action. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. And yeah, man, like like I said, we're going to put aside the hockey picks for this week. Do you go kind of like crazy with the Super Bowl in terms of not just the game? Are you like, do you pick like the MVP? Do you pick the coin toss? Do you pick, I mean, what else? Oh, like, yeah, like the national anthem?
Every year, usually what I do, I do it more just for fun. I really don't put money on it, but maybe this year I will be with that 50% welcome bonus from our awesome sponsors.
Yeah.
I like to put, I think the national anthem, I don't know who's singing it this year. I would imagine it's probably going to be, I think the limit is always what, like 2 minutes? I think it's
like
over
that.
The over under. So, and I've been pretty spot on with the national anthem the last couple of years. So, you know, and then
let me see.
I think one of the prop bets is also what color is the Gatorade going to be?
Oh yes.
I'm trying to think who else, how long is this, the halftime show?
You're going to have to go over it. So the national anthem is a duet. Dude, if it's a duet, like
that's over two minutes.
Jasmine Sullivan and Eric Church. I don't know who they are.
I know who Eric Church is, a country singer. Yeah. I don't know who the other one is, but
unless it's like Eddie Vedder, and you know, I don't know who's.
If that's Eddie Vedder, that thing's getting done real quick.
So you can bet on all that stuff over at betonline.ag. And I mean, if you're not getting in, I mean, if you're just watching the game, just because you want to watch the game, be my guest. But it's a lot more fun when you got some scratch down. So betonline.ag. Use the promo code Locked On, 50% bonus. All right. Questions for the week. Where are we going to start today? All right. So let's just start at the top. Mr. Kyle Sullivan, friend of the show, asked, are the days of the rock star goalies being replaced by reliable tandems?
This was a great question, and this was actually brought up to me, not as a question, but the idea was brought up to me the other day on the other show I do, the First Line Podcast. Little plug there for my own show there.
Yeah.
But because with the whole Saros Pekarinen goalie tandem in Nashville, and we actually spoke about it, I believe, when we did our little preview for the season, yep, as to how goalie tandems would play a bigger role this year. And I would probably say it's 50-50 right now, because I think this season is a little bit of an exception. This isn't your grandfather's hockey season. So especially with the frequency of games, I think we're going to see a lot more goalie tandems, but who knows if there's a ton of success with it, as we've seen thus far this year, we could very well see it. But then again, you know, for example, the Lightning, who I cover, they have Andre Vasilevsky, and unless another top prospect comes up who is just as good, I don't see him sharing the net with someone getting even time. But I think it's a team by team basis, really, Kyle, what we have to go by. What are you thinking, Chris?
I think this was trending in this direction, and now this year is kind of forcing that on people or teams to kind of have those tandems, because you know, you don't get multiple days off in a row, so you need it for this year.
Yeah.
But I agree with him. I think, like, you know, the, when I was thinking about this, like the analogy that came to mind was, I was listening to it was a New York sports radio guy, and he was saying how, you know, like in baseball, all of the, like, the superstars are infielders. They're not outfielders anymore, and it used to be the other way around. It used to be all of the all-stars were out, like the big names, the
right
but like they were outfielders. And the game has changed, and when kids grow up, outfield is boring, so they want to be in on the action, so they've moved all of those stars to the infield. And that's kind of where I feel like hockey has gone. Like, yeah, you have you're always going to have those superstar goalies, but they're becoming few and far between, and you're relying a lot more on tandems. And the Vasilevskys of the world, like he's how old is he? He's young, right? How old?
He just turned, I believe, 26, 27 years
old. Oh, he's that old. I didn't even think he was that old. So, but like, you know, the days of like Henk Lundqvist going on, like, you know, these run, like it's not going to happen anymore. And again, going back to baseball, it's like, look at starting pitchers.
Yeah. Hey,
starting pitchers are pulled after six innings. You do six innings of work, that's good. And I think the way that goalies are going in hockey is we're not going to stretch you out for, you know, multiple games in a row. We're going to give you a break.
Now, having said that, though, do you think this will cause, or this way of thinking going forward, do you think this will cause franchises to maybe pull the plug a little bit earlier on a top goalie prospect? Like, for example, just because, you know, I'm not saying just because I'm from New York, but like the Rangers on Shesterkin, do you think that they're more inclined to have him and Georgiev kind of just share the time now? Or do you think a team like that would probably say, you know what, this was a top prospect, let's play him like a number one goalie? Or do you think, you know, once this current era of number one goalies, the Jonathan Quicks, the Gibsons, the Vasilevskis, do you think this is the last number one rock star goalies that we're going to see?
Again, I think you'll see them occasionally, but for like the Rangers, for example, I think they're not going to, like, as the years go on, I don't think they're going to anoint one of them the number one goalie.
I feel like franchises, I just, maybe it's just because I'm kind of an old school guy, I prefer just to have one guy who knows he's going to be in net every night. I feel like eventually that can mess with a guy's groove, especially going into the playoffs, because you can't be flip-flopping goaltenders. I mean, the Penguins got away with that a couple of years ago and won a cup, but that was because both of their goalies could have been a starter on any other team.
Yeah, it's true. So good question, and it's something to watch as the years go on, because I think that dynamic is changing.
Absolutely.
All right, Laura asks, who so far looks like the best offensive acquisition in your minds, taking only the season to date into account?
Now, we spoke about this before we recorded, and is it because, you know, for our listeners who don't know, Laura is one of the co-hosts of Locked On Canadiens, and I think she asked this question because she just wanted confirmation.
Love how she geared this question,
by the right?
way. Yeah. This is geared to answer in a Tyler Toffoli response, basically, which is what she wants to hear. You got your wish, Laura, okay?
There you go.
I mean, is there any other answer right now? I mean, the guy's been incredible. He's been incredible. As far as offseason acquisition, I'm trying to think of...
Because if you look at it, like, Taylor Hall hasn't done much up in Buffalo. Petrangelo hasn't really done anything either. You know, in Vegas.
Let me bring up his stats first.
Are we also counting draft picks, or?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, you can. Why not?
Kaprizov from Minnesota, he's been in the organization for a couple of years, even though he's a rookie. So that doesn't really, he's kind of excluded out of that conversation. But I mean, Tyler Toffoli has been great. Every time the Canadians are on a night, it seems like even if I'm not watching the game, there's always a highlight of Tyler Toffoli doing something great on the ice. I mean, 10 games played, 13 points. He has nine goals.
Wow.
He's which I'm a little bit shocked as to how, you know, he's already off to a big start like that. But I mean,
no, you know who's, I'm not saying he's the best offseason acquisition, but a guy who I think has struck it rich and played the market in a genius manner is Tyson Barry. Tyson Barry knew he needed to up his game, and the best way to, and it's almost like he didn't have confidence in his own game, so he's going to go to Edmonton, and it's paying dividends because he's only got one goal. He's got 8 assists. He's got a total of 9 points after 12 games.
Yeah,
that's not bad for him. And what he wanted to accomplish going there, playing on that power play with those two dynamos, is paying off right now. Smart man.
I think we could both agree if you're kind of struggling at a certain point in your career, scoring wise, as Tyson Barry did maybe a little bit up in Toronto, I think Edmonton is probably the best place to go to alleviate some of that pressure.
I'm almost positive he signed a 1-year deal with them.
Oh, he's going to make, if he keeps this up, he's going to make so much money next year.
He's going to cash in somewhere else and then drop off the face of the earth. Unless he wants to stay with Edmonton. I have no idea, but if he goes somewhere else, it's because he had a great year, which he's off to a really good start. So,
which I never understand as to why guys do that. If you're successful in one place, unless it's a money thing, which more times than not, the teams are willing to give you the money. I never understand why fix it if it ain't broken.
No, I mean, if Edmonton, what Edmonton offers him is tied for the highest for somewhere else, he'll probably stay where he is. But if Edmonton lowballs him and somewhere else offers him another extra million or two, he'll chase it and won't be as successful as he is right now.
Well, I think that, you know, I think right now the smart thing to do for any player or any guy going into, I mean, because Tyson Barrie's 29 years old, so he's still pretty, he's still young.
Yeah.
So and where he could be effective. I mean, sign another 1-year deal. See how the market goes.
Yeah.
Exactly. You'll only stand and make more money.
Yep. All right. And one more. We got Mr. Jason Hernandez says, who do you think has been the most underappreciated players in their respective divisions right now? So let's see, let me bring up some divisions here. Where are we? Go ahead. Who do you got? I mean, if you want to go through every division, you can, but
One player that I guess you could say has been underappreciated, but he's only played 4 games this year and his team has almost had half their games canceled due to COVID. But
okay.
That is Peter Mrazek from the Carolina Hurricanes, just because he's off to a great start, 4 games, 2 wins, 1 loss. He has a goal against average of under 1. So The guy's been pretty impressive to start the season. I don't think he could sustain this throughout the whole season, though. Maybe that's just me being biased because he plays in the division against the team that I cover on a nightly basis.
Right, yeah.
But I still think that, you know, a lot of people don't realize that there's other goaltenders in the division that are playing well other than the named Andre Vasilevskiy. Another guy that I think has been a little bit underappreciated, not just because of the division he's in, but I think of just because of the team he's on, and that's Kirilly Kaprizov. The kid has been incredible. I mean, can we just talk about that video that surfaced, I think, late last week of him practicing what looked like to be almost surpassed the next Michigan? He goes behind the net, he flips it over, and then he almost baseball swings it back into the net, to where if he were to do that, I give him the Calder, give him half of the heart at least for trying to pull that off. And I think last but not least, just my other pick, I would probably have to say Joe Pavelski. Joe Pavelski has been having a very good start to the season, somewhat of a resurgence in his career over the last 2 years in Dallas. And I mean, he's been a huge part for the success of that team.
Right. For me right now, the first one that I just want to bring up is just keeping it on the home front. Philip Grubauer is, you know, of all of the talk of the Achilles heel for the Avalanche could possibly be the goaltending, and us even talking about, you know, goalie tandems and how I thought they had a pretty good goalie tandem with him and Francois going into the season. Francois has been out the entire year. So it's been completely on Grubauer's shoulders in the type of season that we have. He has been, if not the best goalie so far, no early this season. So I think he deserves a ton of credit for playing the way he's playing and kind of putting those questions to bed, at least for now, on will the Avalanche have good enough goaltending? I think he's been fantastic. Kind of looking at, I kind of wanted to pick somebody on Montreal just because, not Tyler Toffoli, obviously. But you look at someone like Joel Edmondson, who's a plus 14 right now.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good after 10 games. You know, he's not a scoring machine by any stretch of the imagination, but, and plus minus is very, you know, hit or miss with some people, but I think that's a pretty solid number for someone that is not putting up a ton of points to be on the ice when his team is. So that's pretty impressive. And to put it in perspective, he's a plus 14, which is in the lead. Second is Leon Draisaitl, who's plus 12 and has 22 points on the season. So Draisaitl's helping his own cause by being out on the ice, and Edmondson's just being out there being productive when his team is. So those are the two names. And then I was also going to mention Pavelski, as much as it pains me to do that. But you can't, I mean, guy's off to a great start, especially how many, what's he got? 14 points or no? Yeah. 14 points, seven games already. Like,
yeah,
you have to respect that. So
who would have thought in the beginning of the year that Joe Pavelski would be in the talk with Mitchell Marner and Quinn Hughes for points and Nathan MacKinnon?
Yeah. No, it's I don't think he can keep that up.
No,
but it's impressive nonetheless. It's a good start. So, all right, let's hear from Rock Auto, and then we'll get to some quick Super Bowl picks. So, RockAuto.com. It's the family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And they have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet, whether it's for your classic or daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us section so they know that we sent you to them. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And what's Mr. Adam Denker driving around in these days? Is it?
Oh, no, with all that money, all that bet online money, I have a chauffeur to drive me around now.
Oh, in my own done.
In my Monopoly Man suit that I'm wearing.
Okay.
So yeah.
That man is me, by the way. I'm driving you around. I just own a limo and drive it around for random people. I Uber a limo. How come nobody has ever done that before? That could be some money right there. Uber yourself a limo. You want to know what I drove the other day? A couple weeks ago. Yeah. I drove a Tesla for the first time in my life.
How was that?
Dude, that thing, it's got some cojones.
I know, those things fly.
Oh my goodness. I don't think you need to go to rockauto.com because there's no freaking parts in the machine, but it was impressive nonetheless. All right. Super Bowl picks, sir. Let's see. What is the current spread on the Super Bowl?
The spread off the top of my head, I'm looking up right now, but I know going into the game, Kansas City is favored to
3.5. Well, I think it's three.
It is 3.5. Right now. That could change because earlier today, I don't know if you saw, the barber for the Kansas City Chiefs tested positive for COVID. And at the time he got the results back, I forgot whose hair he was cutting, but he was cutting someone's hair. And there was also 20 people in line waiting for him, plus Pat Mahomes. So as we all know by then, I think last week was the cutoff for if you test positive for COVID, couldn't play in the Super Bowl. So last week was the cutoff. But, you know, I think it's going to be one of those – whether or not the refs have a hand in it, which every year for the most part we do see, is that it's usually the refs like to call these ridiculous penalties in which to kind of make the game more dramatic, go down to the wire. So I think that's definitely going to be that kind of game, but I think it's going to be close regardless. I think that Kansas City is just, they're the next New England Patriots in terms of just dominance. Pat Mahomes is going to win like five more Super Bowls, I think. But we spoke about it a little bit on last week's show, and you already know where I'm going with this. I am not only a logical fan, but I'm also, because of my dedication to my fan base that I have on Locked On Lightning, I got to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just because Tom Brady, listen, I'm a Giant fan and I have no reason to hate Tom Brady.
Yeah, you do.
I respect it. We beat him in two Super Bowls. Why would I care?
That's why you hate him. Okay. So you feel bad for Tom Brady because you beat him in two Super Bowls.
I feel bad because he got hit by Michael Strahan and Justin Tuck multiple times, to where there were certain moments where you saw fear in his eyes when he was lined up.
Good. Good. So you think this is an outright win for Tampa Bay, or they cover?
I think they cover. I think they cover. Right. I think
so. You won't go as far as to say they will win, but you think it's going to be a close game, close enough for you taking the 3.5. Yes. They'll get it for that.
But I think Tampa's going to win, but at the same time, if they lose, they will cover. Hopefully, yeah. Because I think I'm going to. The more you say 3.5, the more I'm inclined to put some money down for this game. So,
well, do whatever you want to do, but don't say I didn't warn you, because this is going to be a blowout of epic proportions.
Really?
And if you remember the Broncos versus Seahawks debacle, where, you know, the first offensive snap for Denver was a safety and it was just, you know, god awful from there. This is going down that rabbit hole. At least that's what I, you know, go to bed at night praying. And is it going to be a blowout? I'd say blowout, not to that level, but I don't think Tampa is going to be involved in this thing. I think it might take Kansas City a little bit to get going, get the Super Bowl jitters out. And then I don't think you can stop this team. And that's coming from, so that's, you would think my allegiance would be towards Tampa Bay because Kansas City's in the division with Denver. That's how much I despise Tom Brady.
I was about to ask.
I will root for a division foe to beat him because I cannot stand listening to an offseason of the Tom Brady lovers. I hate it.
Well, you saw how they played against the Packers, I assume. Do you think so? You're saying the team that beat the Packers a couple weeks ago in Lambeau is not the same team we're going to see this Sunday? Because they played pretty darn well against the Packers.
They played well.
A little help from the officials. I'll give you that. A little help from the officials.
Well, yeah, I don't really like to bring the officials into it. Like you said, I hope it doesn't come to that. I thought their defense played well. Their offense really didn't really impress me that much. Mm-hmm. And I think Kansas City's just too fast on both ends of the ball to – Tom Brady's a dink and dunker. And – I think Kansas City will eat that up. And then on offense, that's my next question to you. I think the easy question, or the easy answer to the question, is, you know, MVP, you can pick, you know, the winning quarterback. Beyond that, who could be MVP?
Because
I think someone like Tyreek Hill, if he gets going, he's just one of those guys that's a game changer. So if they can't figure out a way to stop him, it's over.
Well, I think that a couple of days ago, it's funny that you say that, because Tyreek Hill did say at one of the Zoom press conferences that he does want to win the MVP award in the Super Bowl. I'm thinking if I think it always comes down in today's league. I think it's going to come down to the tight ends. And I think that it's very possible to see Travis Kelce come out with the MVP if Kansas City wins. I think if Tampa Bay wins, I would say probably Mike Evans would probably be put up some crazy numbers, but at the same time, I could see them just giving it to Brady for the sake of giving it to him.
Yeah. I think if Tampa Bay wins, I'll go with a former Bronco and Shaq Barrett on the defensive end. And I'd like to see that. Yeah. I'd like to see that too. So,
but let me ask you, with all of our listeners listening very intently on this conversation, if the Patriots, I mean, Patriots, the Buccaneers do win on Sunday and there's no funny business, tomfoolery or flim-flam going on the field because of any officiating, will you come on the show next week and tell us that Tom Brady played well?
I think that's like an impossibility because there's always flim-flam and funny business and nonsense surrounding Tom Brady. It's just like, it's part of his DNA. So if it does go that way, and I can't pick apart something to say like, if this, then that, Like if this didn't happen, then you know, we could do an entire show, and maybe we should take over Locked On NFL for an episode, and I can pick apart every single Super Bowl win by Tom Brady and tell you why it's garbage. And I've done it. So don't test me.
Well, I think the Rams and the Falcons ones were ridiculous, so I'll give you that one.
And the Seahawks one where they decided to throw it on the 1 yard line. So,
well, that's just bad coaching. So,
right. So, we'll see. We'll take a flyer on that. And if I got to eat my own words, I got no problem doing that. But I'm pretty confident in this one. I'm pretty confident that the Chiefs will have no problem whatsoever. So,
well, I think if that does hold true, I think Brady's done, and we're gonna see.
Thank God.
We'll see a dynasty unfolding in front of our eyes in Kansas City.
That could be a reality. Probably already is, which sucks for me. Sucks for me being a Broncos fan. So,
yep.
All right. Well, we'll see where all that goes. Enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody. Enjoy the hockey games if your team is playing. And next week, I'm sure we'll have some more teams added to that list of.
Yeah.
COVID protocol players and teams.
And,
so.
And if your team is not playing, but you want to watch a game and follow along, go on to one of our shows, Locked On Avalanche and Locked On Lightning. Definitely follow, maybe become a bandwagon fan for a couple of hours or days. We'll definitely, we got some great content as always. If anybody,
we're always taking bandwagon people.
Always. And I have a great interview with former GM Jay Feaster that dropped this week. So if anybody wants to listen to that, I got a play-by-play commentator for the Lightning, Dave Randorf, coming on the show this week too. So come on and listen, and maybe Tom Brady to talk about his hate for Chris Masilli.
Yeah.
So
I've arrived if that happens. So. I think I'll have my, I mean, you got all those awesome people. I think my dog is coming on my episode.
I would love to get, I would love to have my dogs on the show. They're just super busy with eating my couch. So.
Oh, boy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be it for today. Follow me, LOPN_Avalanche. Follow Adam at
LO_Lightning. Follow us on Instagram at LockedOn_Lightning. And you could follow the meme, GIF, social media wizard Chris's show on Instagram at
Instagram's just Locked On Avalanche. Give it a search.
There we go.
Yeah. All right. We'll see everybody next week. Stay safe.
Bye.